Hey, good morning to you and greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus. I just know a couple of you people here. I don't know just a whole lot of you here this morning. It was good to connect with Calvin and Barbie again. I've known Calvin for quite some time. Calvin and I served at Fairplay together. A few more people we've got to know Nate and Martha a little as well when they were down at our church for a few days, David and Gina. David during his time of helping us as a church, and we thank you for that. Maybe in just a little bit more of an introduction for myself, I'm not so far from removed from Lancaster County as you might think. My mom was a Kaufman, and she grew up in Lancaster County, or she was born and raised in her early years in Lancaster County. She was raised beside Kaufman's fruit farm. And I'm sure all of you know where that's at. And maybe just in one more statement on that is my grandfather was Chris Kaufman. So some of you older ones probably know who that was. This morning, the message that I've chosen to give is entitled Worship Through Surrender. And you might wonder, what does surrender have to do with worship? It has a lot to do with it. And I know that we're in the Christmas season or the time of the year when maybe you would expect a Christmas message, but I'm just as guilty as maybe all the other pastors that are asked to preach somewhere, and you go down through and you try to find a message that you want to share for the day. And so I don't really have a Christmas message, so to speak, but I believe that a life of surrender is actually really what it's all about. Corrie ten Boom said this, I have learned to hold all things loosely so that God will not have to pry them out of my hands. You might be asking the question, what does this have to do with worship and surrender? It has a lot to do with it, because true worshipers worship God with loose hands. True worshipers live in surrender. You see, all the probably have something, we all have something that we're probably holding on to, don't we? That we need to give up in total surrender to God. The question I'd like to ask you this morning, have we worshiped God this morning? Have we worshiped God? I know we sang songs and we read some scriptures, but have we worshiped God? Someone has said that singing holds no demands. Is that true? Singing holds no demands, but a life of surrender holds demands. It's possible to be caught up in the emotion of singing and not really worship God. And I know that from experience, because I can think back to times in my life when I would sing, but my heart was far from God. Have we worshiped this morning? It's possible to sing and be caught up in the emotion of the song and not truly worship. Turn to John chapter 4 for another scripture this morning. John chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. John chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So as we think about this thing of worship and surrender this morning, this Scripture begs the question, what is true worship? Worship is a reverent love and devotion given to a deity. The ceremonies and the prayers by which our love is expressed. And so in a sense, we would say that our worship this morning, or our surrender to God, comes in the form of worship as we give ourselves to Him. I'd like to take a look at the account in Genesis chapter 22 that was read. This is the first time that the word worship was used. And sometimes when you want to know what a word means, you can go to the very first time that it was used. and maybe do a study on it and find out what the worship really means. This account makes no mention of any instruments or singing. Did you notice that? Makes no mention of instruments or singing, but it uses the word worship. There's something that I'd like for us to see this morning as we go through this account, and that is that Abraham's heart towards God was one of total surrender and worship. In his heart, he was committed to perform every little detail that God had called him to do. Everything that God asked of Abraham, he did it. And I'm going to use a word this morning to describe that. And it's kind of a big word, and I had to go to the dictionary to see what it means. And those of you that are school teachers probably know what this word means, but it's the word polysyndeton. How many school teachers do we have here this morning? Do you know what that word means? Polysyndeton. So that's actually two Greek words that's put together. The word poly means much or many. The word syndeton means bound together. And the two together actually means words such as and that tie a story together. And we have that here in this account, and I'd like for us to notice that this morning because I think that it's very important to Abraham's worship and surrender to God. We have this little word, and. For example, I could say that I ate lunch at Grandma's today. End of story. You would all know what that means. That means that I had lunch at Grandma's house. Or you could say, I ate lunch at Grandma's house, and I ate roast beef, and I ate squash, and carrots, and corn, and potatoes, and ice cream, and cherry pie. Do you see the difference? What's the difference between the two? The difference is the syndeton. The difference is that little word and that ties the whole story together. And that's very important in this story here. It's the story of Abraham, where his heart was one of total surrender and worship to God. But he wasn't singing. Maybe they did some singing, I don't know, but I believe the biggest form of worship was his surrender. I'd like to notice that a little bit. The word and is used many times. This word and is an emphasis to all the particulars and details until the job is done. That was Abraham. I'd like to read verses 3 through 10. And I'd like for someone to count how many times the word and is used in verses 3 through 10 as I read. Then someone can tell me what it is. Genesis 22, verses 3 through 10. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son, and he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. How many times was that word and used? 31? I had 29, so maybe I'm wrong. You got 31, okay, so I had missed two. You're right. 31 times. Do you get the gist of the story? This story could say like this. And God told Abraham to take his Isaac to the altar and sacrifice him. And Abraham took his son and got ready to offer him. And God said, stop, go offer the ram instead. End of story. Why do you think that all those, that little word and is in there? It ties the story together because I believe that Abraham was so committed and so surrendered to God in his worship to God, it was important for him to do every detail that God had asked him to do. That to me is very powerful. Not only was it important for Abraham to get the job done, but it was extremely important that he obey every little detail what God had asked him to do. What I'd like for us to see this morning is that Abraham's obedience and surrender was actually an act of worship. An act of worship. In this account, God was asking Abraham to give up something that he loved dearly. And we don't need to just give up those things to God. We need to give our whole lives to God, every detail. But God was asking Abraham to give up something that he very, very much loved. Worship through surrender is giving up your life and surrender to God, even if you love it dearly. Kay Arthur, a Bible teacher, said this. If you do not plan to live the Christian life totally committed to knowing your God and in walking in obedience to Him, then don't begin. For this is what Christianity is all about. It is a change of citizenship, a change of government, and a change of allegiance. If you have no intention of letting Christ rule your life, then forget Christianity. It is not for you. And we'd say this morning, that's pretty harsh. Because we want people to come follow God. We want people to surrender their lives to God, don't we? But she's saying that if you're not all in, then don't do it. And so the call this morning is to live our lives in surrender and worship to God. And I had to think of the prayer request that was shared. Thank you, brother, for sharing that this morning. You know, when about your job and you know, when things like that hit us, it can be hard. And we as brothers and sisters need to gather around people like that and to help them. But I'd like to encourage you to a life of worship as you surrender that to God. Yesterday when we were at Sight and Sound and we'd seen the movie on Daniel, that's one thing that stood out to me is whenever Daniel found himself in hard times, he worshiped. First of all, he would surrender, then he worshiped. When you and I say that we worship God, what we really are saying is, God, I surrender everything to you. You're in total control of my life. There is nothing that I'm holding back from you, God. Worship brings with it demands. And I'm not saying this morning that singing isn't worship. Don't take me wrong. I think singing can be worship. But if you're going to truly worship and surrender God, it demands a life of surrender and worship to God. Singing is so easy to do when maybe we're not right with God. Worship brings with it demands. It's saying, God, I bring everything to you in total surrender. And in the midst of that surrender, I worship. I give everything to you, God, with an open hand. Because so many times we'd like to hold on to our things, don't we, with closed hands. And I don't think that it was really that easy for Abraham. I don't think that he was that different. In fact, Abraham had two sons. And when God came to Abraham and he said, I want your son Isaac, I don't know what all happened or what all took place, but I have a tendency to believe this morning that there was maybe a conversation between God and Abraham. And it may have went something like this. Abraham, I want you to take your son. And Abraham's like, I'll give you Ishmael. And then God said, Abraham, I want your only son. And maybe Abraham said, God, I have two sons. And then God said, I want you to take Isaac, the one you love. And as Abraham began to wrestle with that thing, And as he begins to worship God, he starts to find himself with his hand where he holds Isaac starting to open up and surrender to him. There's one thing that I noticed about the account is that when Abraham and Isaac, before they left, Abraham told his servants, he said, Isaac and I are going to go, the lad and I, he said, are going to go and worship. We're going to go up yonder and worship. I believe at that point that Abraham had already surrendered his life to God. God has a way of putting his finger on where it hurts. And sometimes we want to argue with God, don't we? How many of you find yourself arguing with God? I've argued with God. And I said, God, this is how I want it. It doesn't work that way. Our conversations might go like this. God is saying, I want that thing in your life that you love. And you're saying, God, I'll give you my mistakes. You can take care of that. God, I'll give you my sin. God, I'll give you Ishmael, but I don't want to give you my Isaac. And God says, I want Isaac. And you say, God, no, that's my promised child. God, that's the miracle that you worked in my life. And now you're asking me to give it up. And God says, I want Isaac, whom thou lovest. As God continues to pry open our fingers, we begin to surrender to God. And I surrender that Isaac that I love. True worship is giving to God what we love. It hurts to give up the things that we love, but we can do it for God because he knows what he's doing. Let's remember this morning that the Heavenly Father also gave up his son to die on the cross. As we think about the Christmas season, God gave up his son. And it's hard for me to grasp the fact of how God, of how Jesus could be 100% God, yet 100% man. Oh, God gave up his son. He gave up his son, a promise to die on the cross for my sin and for your sin, for the sin of the whole wide world. Worship is giving up and surrender to God. Billy Graham said this, when we come to Christ, we're no longer the most important person in the world to us. We live in a day and age when it seems like there's three very, very important people and they're called me, myself, and I. Is that who's important to you? Then he goes on to say, he said, Christ is. Instead of living only for ourselves, we have a higher goal to live for Jesus. And the way we do that is to live in total surrender and total commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When we think about the Christmas story, and we think about how Jesus came on this earth and as a babe, that's not where the story ends. That's not where the story ends. The story ends doesn't end at the cross. It ends with the resurrection and continues. It doesn't even end there. It continues in our hearts. God has a right to demand it all. Does God really have a right to demand our devotion? How much does God have a right to do that? What do you need to surrender to God? Does God have a right to be in control of all your relationships, all your dreams, all your goals, all your businesses, all your possessions? There is nothing that we have that should not be surrendered to God, because at the end of the day, it's all going to go back to God. When you and I sin, we go to the cross and we cry out to God. God forgives us of our sin. God, I give you my mistakes. We're glad about that, aren't we? And we gladly give God our mistakes and our sin. God, I'll give you Ishmael. And I don't think that Abraham hated Ishmael. I think Abraham loved Ishmael, but he really loved Isaac. God, I'll give you Ishmael. And God says, I'll take your sin. I'll take your mistakes. I'll take your Ishmael. But I really want the Isaac that you love. Our hearts need to be conditioned like Job. In Job 1:21, he says, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was worship. Job said, God, when you're giving, I'm going to worship. When you're taking away, I'm going to worship. And I'd have to admit that when I was studying for this message, I'd shared this at the home congregation as well, that it struck a kind of a chord in my heart, because there was a time that Roxanne and I went through a lot of hard times, and God took it all away. And I'd have to admit this morning that I didn't worship God. I became bitter and angry at God. When you don't pass a test the first time, God will probably send you another test. I think about that. If God gives, I want to worship. And when God takes, I want to worship. Like Job did. I'm so thankful for a wife that continued to worship God through our hard times and continued to pray for me. In Psalm chapter 95, verse 6, it says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. He doesn't say, oh, come, let us sing and bow down. He says, let us worship and bow down. I had to think of a statement that Brother Nate shared with us when he was at our church. And that was one evening, he said, do you really know who God is? And we hear that statement, but do we really know God? God is more than holy. God is the very essence of holiness. Holiness doesn't start with a superior to God, but it's God Himself. God doesn't look to someone that is superior to Him. God is the superior. God doesn't look for someone that is higher than Him. God is the highest. God is the ultimate, highest, purest, holiest of all. Almost feels a little cheap to say that, doesn't it? Because I don't know that any of us can really 100% understand the holiness of God. But that's who God is. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down before such a God. When we worship, we submit. When we worship God, He's in charge. When we say that we'll serve a God for the rest of our lives, do we really mean that? Do we have loose hands and open hands? Have you and I really surrendered everything to God? The one who created you and the one who has only love for you and I. There's something interesting in the account of the woman at the well that Jesus doesn't even focus much on the sin. You notice that? Do you know what Jesus focused on? He focused on worship. And I wonder this morning if Jesus was trying to tell her that if you get your worship straightened out, your life will straighten out. That's a little backwards, isn't it, from how we like to work with people. And don't get me wrong, we need to work with people. But Jesus was telling her that if you get your worship right, the rest of your life will be okay. Can we accept that? And I'm not saying by this that sin goes unrepented of, but what I'm saying is maybe we need to focus on who God is and start to worship God. Maybe we should get people to worship God more and focus less on themselves. We need to focus on God and start to worship. I want to see God for who he is, because God can bring us out of bondage. If we could just but grab a hold of this concept of worship and surrender. Worship through surrender. There's an account of the disciples when Jesus, right before his ascension, led them out. And when Jesus went up and ascended into heaven, what happened? Maybe let me back up just a little bit. The disciples thought that they had the answers. They thought that they knew how to run the kingdom of God. And I think maybe they were looking for an established kingdom on this earth. And they would argue of who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And you know what happened when Jesus, after his resurrection, and they were out there on the hill, and Jesus ascended up in the clouds. What did the disciples do? It says that they stood and they worshiped. As they saw Jesus going up through the clouds, it says that they worshiped. This time their worship was different. This time it was in total surrender and resignation to the person they loved, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Their worship all of a sudden wasn't about who was going to be the greatest and Jesus establishing your kingdom here on this earth. But they truly, I think, for maybe one of the first times, saw who Jesus was. They worshiped. God wants it all. How much does God want this morning? Does he want just the Ishmaels? Or does he want that thing that you truly love? That thing that's called your Isaac? There's another lesson for us in the story of Abraham and Isaac. Before we worship, we have to lay everything on the altar of sacrifice. Abraham had already surrendered his life as him and Isaac were going up to that altar of sacrifice, and he laid Isaac on there. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved and gave himself for me. What is that verse really saying? If you read that verse carefully, you'll read different times of where you're the dead one, but you're alive. You're dead and you're alive. You're dead and you're alive. But you're dead to self on the altar of sacrifice. You're alive through Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Do you like suffering? There's none of us that like suffering this morning. I don't like to suffer. My flesh doesn't like to suffer. But when I try to crucify the flesh, it suffers. When I try to get rid of something in my life, it hurts. I die with Christ. I put it on the altar of sacrifice. When I suffer, it hurts. And the self does not go down without a fight. We fight that old self, don't we? And I think I'm talking to people that know that just as much as I do. I'd like to relate a little story that happened to me. Roxanne and I had gone through some pretty hard times. And I remember coming home one evening. We had been away, and I came home, and something happened that evening that just drove me, just tore me up. And I remember coming home, and I'm pacing the kitchen floor, just around and around the counter. And I'm crying out to God, and I'm saying, God, what do you really want of me? God, why are you doing this? God, how low do you want me to be? Have you ever asked God those questions? The answer that came to me, if someone would have spoke to me in an audible voice, the answer would not have been any more clear. It's the one time that I can honestly say that I believe that God spoke to me in an audible voice. What do you think the answer was? The answer that came back to me, word for word, is I want you flat on your face at the foot of the cross. I want you flat on your face at the foot of the cross. And how many of you this morning does God want flat on your face at the foot of the cross? We don't like that suffering part. But it's something we have to do as Abraham laid Isaac on the altar of sacrifice. We too must lay ourselves on the altar of sacrifice. You see, worship this morning is much more than singing. It's much more than emotions. It's much more than saying hallelujah and amen. But worship is really a life lived to God. It's surrender. Surrender. Do we like that word? If you're living for God and you're a Christian this morning, you have to like that word. It's a life of surrender. God wants us flat on our faces at the foot of the cross. And you know, this me, myself, and I mentality that we have today is creeping into the church. It's in my own life. Those three words can feel pretty good. Me, myself, and I. That's quite the party, isn't it? But all three of those must die at the foot of the cross. How is it with us this morning? Is there something that you need to surrender to God? Is there an Isaac in your life that must be surrendered? Is there something in your life that you're arguing with God about? Are you going through a tough time? Then I want you to surrender that thing to God, and I want you to worship. Are you struggling with a relationship this morning? Then I want you to surrender that thing to God, and I want you to worship. Are you having a problem with something in the church? Then I want you to surrender that thing to God and worship. Is your marriage struggling? I want you to surrender that to God and worship. Worship will lead you to God, who ultimately can give you the freedom that you really desire. God wants it all. He deserves it all. He is worthy of it all. Our gifts, our churches, our finances, our vacations, our retirement plans, our businesses, our families, our spouses, our plans, our lives, our all. God deserves it all. We sing that song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And I don't know if you noticed that the very last phrase of that song is, demands my soul, my life, my all. You want to be a vessel that's used by God? Then surrender your life to God and worship. We need to offer everything with a loose hand to God and release it all. When I'm in charge of my life, I mess things up. It's time to surrender to God and let Him take control. It's time to surrender to God and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You see, the temperature of your Christian life is not dependent upon how many trials you have. It's not dependent upon how many struggles you have. But it's more dependent on how many of those you can surrender to God and then worship during that time. And I know how hard it is to worship God when you're going through a tough time. Because I failed many times, and there's many times that I didn't do it, but I'm finding myself that anymore that I worship God a lot quicker than I used to. Still not near all the time. The hardest times that you're going through are the times that you need to surrender and worship, because worship will lead you back to God. I had to think of a song. There's actually a couple songs that I thought about, and I'd like to just make mention of them in closing. The one is a chorus, but it says, "Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed, get this, church, and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul." And I trust this morning that as you go from here, that you can live a life of surrender and worship you to God. Don't hold on tightly to the Isaac and let Ishmael go. But open up your hand and let Isaac go as well. And God can do great things through your life. Let's kneel for prayer.